So there's a lot of different kinds of sermons, right? There are the sermons when you need to call out some problem that you see, some flaw that you need to prophetically name and point out, either in the community or out in the world. There are sermons where you need to give instructions, teaching maybe how to live, an exhortation to take certain steps so that the people of God might walk more faithfully. There are some sermons where you just preach to instruct, to explain a certain doctrine or passage so that we can love the Lord our God with all of our minds. Tonight's not a night for any of those sermons. Tonight's just a night to rejoice. That's right. We heard the story of how humanity was created to be with God, to care for his good creation, and then we turned against him. But God is not a God to leave us alone, but a God who saves. And so we heard about how God delivered his people from the Egyptians and how he calls wayward people home to forgive us, to give us a clean heart and a new spirit, and to breathe life into dry and weary bones. We do not worship a God who stands back with his arms crossed, placing hoops for us to jump through so we can win back his favor. We worship a God whose nature is always to have mercy, who knew that sin would continue to rot and decay and sow chaos, and chose not to stand far off, but to come near, becoming flesh dwelling among us and facing death head on and come out the other side victorious. And so tonight's a night for celebration. Sin and death have been defeated and do not get the final word. We all came here tonight with our own stories, our own baggage. We all have different things that are weighing us down. We have had various degrees of success keeping our Lenten fasts, or maybe not. We've had various degrees of success in following Jesus in general. But tonight, we don't measure ourselves. We marvel at Jesus. His resurrection is the promise that all things are being made new, even you and even me. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. We'll get to instructions. We'll get to Jesus going and sending out his disciples. That's coming. Tonight, we get to dwell for just a moment in the wonder and awe of the resurrection. The early church father, John Chrysostom, preached this sermon on Easter out of pure celebration and joy. And I actually want to close with his words, inviting us all to fix our eyes and hearts on the joy of the resurrection. Here's what he said. Are there any who are devout lovers of God? Let them enjoy this bright, beautiful festival. Are there any who are grateful servants? Let them rejoice and enter into the joy of their Lord. Are there any weary with fasting? Let them now receive their wages. If any toiled from the first hour, let them receive their due reward. If any came after the third hour, let them with gratitude join the feast. And the ones that arrived after the sixth hour, let them not doubt, for they too shall sustain no loss. And if any delayed until the ninth hour, let them not hesitate, but let them come too. For the one who arrived only at the 11th hour, let them not be afraid by reason of delay. For the Lord is gracious and receives the last even as the first. He gives rest to him who comes at the 11th hour as well to him that toiled from the first. To this one he gives and another he bestows. He accepts the works and he greets the endeavor. The deed he honors and the intention he commends. Let us all enter into the joy of the Lord. First and last alike, receive your reward. Rich and poor, rejoice together. Sober and slothful, celebrate the day. You that have kept the fast and you that have not, rejoice today, for the table is richly laden. Feast royally on it. The calf is a fatted one. Let no one go away hungry. Partake all of the cup of faith. Enjoy all the riches of his goodness. Let no one grieve at their poverty, for the universal kingdom has been revealed. Let no one mourn that they have fallen again and again, for forgiveness has risen from the grave. Let no one fear death, for the death of our Savior has set us free. He has destroyed it by enduring it. He destroyed hell when he descended into it. He put it into an uproar, even as it tasted his flesh. Isaiah foretold this when he said, "You, O hell, have been troubled by encountering him below." Hell was in an uproar because it was done away with. It was in an uproar because it is mocked. It was in an uproar for it is destroyed. It is in an uproar for it is annihilated, for it is now made captive. Hell took a body and discovered God. It took earth and encountered heaven. It took what it saw and was overcome by what it did not see. O death, where is your sting? O hell, where is your victory? Christ is risen, and you, O death, are annihilated. Christ is risen and the evil ones are cast down. Christ is risen and the angels rejoiced. Christ is risen and life is liberated. Christ is risen and the tomb is emptied of its dead. For Christ, having risen from the dead, is become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen.